Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes, etc., etc. It's the 4th of November. Tomorrow's the 5th of November, Bonfire Day. But it's the 4th today. It's 10 to 8, according to the clock, and I have had a nice bath and a shave this morning. So a little bit later than normal. Just switching on the internet. Been blowing my hooter. Had a strange night with strange dreams. But there you are. Julia is languishing in the bath, and attending to her hair, etc. And I just turned the internet on and all of those things. It's just taking out a couple of glasses. Well, a glass and a cup from yesterday. We bought a few days ago, in the week, I think it was, one of these very small bottles of brandy. Now, Julia and I don't really drink very much. Occasionally we have the small, what would you call it, small tot of port. It's quite nice, with our pipes. And we don't do that regularly or anything like that, and that's about the sum of it. We don't overly enjoy the effects of alcohol, but the taste of port is very nice, and so I do enjoy that. However, we fancied some. We went to the shop, and they didn't have any. So Julia had something else that's been in the cupboard for a while. She said, "Oh, I'll have that with some lemonade." And I said, "Well, do you know, I'll have her get one of these small bottles of brandy." So trouble with me is if you have any of that sort of stuff in the house, it will get used up. It's not so easy just to go, that was nice, put it away and wait for another rainy day. Now, it'll be a while before I buy another one, and that's the best, you know. If I don't buy it, I can't consume it. That's the way I look at it. And so very rarely do I buy any of these sort of things. However, if it's there and you spot it, you go, oh, yes, I'll... that's why I don't buy biscuits and all these other things that you think, oh yes, I could quite fancy that. Even though I know that the wheat in the biscuits and all the other crap they put in them are rubbish. If I had them in the house, I'd tend to eat them. So I don't have them in the house. That's probably the best of it all. Let's have a look at our diarist. Gilbert White in 1781 in Hampshire said of this day, "The wintry and huge constellation Orion begins now to make his appearance in the evening, exhibiting his enormous figure in the east." Dorothy Wordsworth, 1800, in Westmoreland, said, "William went to the tarn, afterwards to the top of Scat Sandal." Is it Scat? No, Seat. No, I can't. No, it's just the way it printed. Seat Sandal. "He was obliged to lie down in the tremendous wind. The snow blew from the Helvian horizontal, like smoke, the spray of the unseen waterfall, like smoke." And Thomas Hardy, 1873 in Dorset, "It is raining in torrents. The light is greenish and unnatural, objects being seen as though through water. A roar of rain in the plantation and a rush near at hand, yet not a breath of wind. A silver finger hangs from the eaves of the house to the ground. A flash, and then thunder." Very dramatic in Dorset. So that was what was going on over there. Not a lot to report. Yesterday I managed to get some good work done on my book. I have written a couple of letters. Well, over the weekend, I cleaned out the essay and oiled it. What else did I do? I made a couple of phone calls, caught up with correspondence on the email, smoked a pipe or two, made a video about pipe smoking, and got out some videos that I'd recorded in the week. So, all in all, quite jolly. Quite jolly. So, what else can I report to you, my dears, listening here? Well, today I've got to go. I've got two interviews this afternoon. I have. We're coming to the end now. We're coming to the end because I haven't booked people in anymore for these interviews. People have asked, but we're coming to the end, and so this will run probably to the end of the weekend with the interviews, and then thereafter, I won't be doing so. I want to concentrate. I will still be doing the monologues in the morning, of course, and the Naked Englishman, but I want to concentrate on the writing for the rest of this month, certainly, and possibly in December. There'd be a lot to do. And also, I need the time to look for some land. We've got a potential perspective one that we're looking at. And so there's things, you know, trips to go and do, and just have time, a little bit of time, a pullback time before Christmas. So that would be quite nice. After 2 years of pumping out the stuff, it would be nice to take a little bit of a back seat. Just for a bit. I mean, I will still do my opinion pieces, as I say, which would be quite nice. So, what will I fill this up with, my friends? What will I fill the Naked Englishman up with? Well, today I picked out a book by A.G. Street Farmer from A Year of My Life. So, this is quite a nice little book, with some various different bits and pieces, farming stories and things. So I'm going to just pick a piece at random and we'll see where it takes us. The other day I had occasion to call at a country house which I'd never visited before. It was a lovely spring morning and the outlook from the window was so pleasing that I murmured my admiration aloud. My hostess agreed and told me that although she lived there scarcely a 12 month, she loved both the house and the setting, but remarked it had one drawback. "It's nearly 2 miles to church," she said, "and so we have to go there by car, and somehow I always prefer to walk to church on a Sunday mornings, but I just can't manage the distance from here." By certain modern standards, that is, I suppose, a rather silly old-fashioned preference. Now that science and invention have granted us motor cars, why not use them and be thankful for such aid to comfort? But while I subscribe to that view, I cannot help respecting the other. It may be silly, it may be old-fashioned. In fact, I cannot understand it, but I recognise that there is a sound quality about it which commands deference from the inferior folk, such as I. However, I'm afraid I did not profit from it or try to emulate it, for the following Sunday morning I found myself driving my car once more, and this time not even to church, but merely round the countryside in order to enjoy the sight of landscape which was so obviously waking up to the call of spring. And I soon found that I was not alone in my way of spending a fine Sunday morning. Everywhere I found people either driving, cycling, or walking along the country roads. Youth had brought out the tandem from its winter stable, and the sun had tempted the old bones of age to toddle along the lane. We all should perhaps have been in church, but it was difficult to feel that our truancy was a very serious crime on that morning. One thing that did impress me when I looked at the English rural landscape is that its outline changes very little with the passing years. For instance, every time I go through the village of Fovent, I marvel at the almost complete disappearance of the military occupation during the war years. Today, very little trace of the huge camps remain to be seen. A pile of bricks and a stone here, a patch of cement there, and various regimental badges on the side of the downs, but that is all. The farming of Wiltshire has overflowed the rest, and it is hard to believe that where cows graze today, soldiers camped less than a quarter of a century ago. Of course, the actual farming in the countryside has changed tremendously, and will, nay, must continue to change as the times demand. Where once the plough and the Hampshire Down sheep ruled the fields, now cows and poultry hold dominion. Perhaps one of the greatest changes in our south country farming during recent years has been the general spread of the practice of keeping all sorts of livestock out of doors all year round. I had to get out a short history of outdoor milking under the bale system the other week, and this job reminded me of all sorts of things, how most of us scouted such a method as absurd when we first heard about it, how, when steadily prospered, a good many folk went out of their way to run it down, of the difficulties of its originator, and of my own when I copied his methods years afterwards. A few years ago, a bale was a very rare thing indeed, and now one can scarcely drive 3 miles in Wiltshire without seeing one. This is back then. You won't see one anymore, I don't suppose. Certainly not in the fields milking cows, which is a shame because this is a very good way of doing it. That's me added it. It is amazing how this system of dairying has spread on suitable land, and equally amazing how the outdoor principles have spread to other classes of farm livestock. The long line of folding poultry houses is now a familiar sight, and the practice of folding pigs is definitely on the increase. I passed an example of the latter the other morning, after a wet night, and the pigs looked just like, the pigs looked just as though each had had a hot bath. Their whitey pinkness showed up against the brown soil of the hillside, most distinctly. Incidentally, I write these lines with a southwest window open, a warm sun on the back of my neck, and a young terrier basking in the sunlit streak upon the carpet. Outside, the lawnmower chatters, and a would-be tennis player is searching the lawn for a fork for the lost corners of the court. A combination of pleasant things which makes me glad to be in England and tells me April is here. There is a picture of cows in a field, and I wonder if that is a bale system. It says, the King's Cows at Stoke Climsland. There's a village behind that, which must be Stoke Climsland. And some longhorn, they look like longhorn something or others, in a field, which is, oh yes, that's a hen house. So beyond is chickens running freely in the same field as the longhorns. And then beyond that, another field, you can see sheep. And beyond that, the village. Beautiful rural scene that is greatly missed these days. And we need to be returned. And the cows, there's only a handful. 4, 8, 12 cows in the picture anyway. So it's fascinating. Fascinating. This book, by the way, for the sake of clarity, is called A Year of My Life by A.G. Street, and there's a picture of him standing in a field with a hat and a pipe. A straight pipe, actually. It looks like an apple straight. I'm just trying to find the date. First published 1939. So, you know, 80 years ago. Anyway, so there we go. The state of farming now, if he was to walk around and see, look at the state of farming now and how many farms have been converted into solar panels and how many farms have been built on, I think he would be turning in his grave and desperate to get out and shake the idiots who are in control. We have to do something about this before it's too late. It can all go back to farming, of course, but we need to repair the soil. And we need to grow our own stuff and stop importing stuff. And it needs to be organic and healthy and proper and not covered in Roundup, glyphosate and all this other crap that they're doing and all the other poisons. This has to stop, and it has to stop very soon. Anyway, on that note, thank you very much for listening. 14 minutes, this will do for a Monday morning. I bid you a farewell and I hope that you have a good day.